Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was hell.
Yeah, lemon face.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the episode podcast. The episode, episode 413 of the Who Goes There podcast. This is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
This is Boss Nass over
Misa
here.
The Gungan Ree.
Yeah, that comes out this weekend, bro. No, next weekend.
Oh yeah,
next
weekend. One's coming back.
Is it a 25 year anniversary, I think.
It's going to be 25 because we watched that shit in high school.
99? Yeah.
25th
yep.
anniversary.
Woo.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
You got to hear Courtney's hot take on it last night. It's her favorite Star Wars movie.
I saw Jacob and Courtney and myself and Hi Sophia. We watched the Hereditary re-release in IMAX from A24, part of their. No, I'm just kidding. Afterwards, though, yeah, Courtney was mentioning that episode one was her favorite Star Wars movie.
She loves Jar Jar.
And that she loves Jar Jar.
Yeah. It's like he's the hero of the movie.
Which I'm not even mad. Like, there's no reason to be mad.
And yeah, it could be her favorite.
I just love the different takes on this at this point. But I understand it?
No.
No, dude. I understand 10 minutes of episode one being good.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you know what they are.
And you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Duel of the Fates, homie.
Yeah. They're like, oh, the pod race? No.
Nope.
Not that.
Not at all. We met a weird girl at the premiere of episode one.
Yeah, we did. Because we spent the night at the fucking mall waiting for those tickets. And there was like probably 100 people there.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was up with the girl?
We hung out with this girl who had her boyfriend had recently passed, and she was carrying his ashes around in a little vial, and she was like, she was just hanging out with us in the ashes. It was crazy.
That's right. I'd completely forgotten that.
Yeah.
I just remember the essay who fucking
knew you fucking so much. Worked your ass, dude.
He's like, what's
the call sign, dude?
Yeah.
And you were like,
There was Star Wars Monopoly, and then there was Star Wars Trivia. And then he's like, what's the call sign on the Millennium Falcon? And I'm like, I don't fucking know that. And then he says, like, a bunch of shit. And I'm like, you made that shit up. And he gets his backpack.
He gets the encyclopedia.
And the Star Wars encyclopedia.
Yeah, there's no internet. There's no, yeah.
And this is, like, the late, this is 99.
Yeah, you can't do just, like, a real quick internet check.
Yeah,
and
no.
An essay, like, with Cortez is on, like... I don't think I'm even like fucking.
No, you're
embellishing.
Not. No, that's a real true story.
And I was just like, I'm out of my league, and that's when I just, you know what? That's the moment. And then when episode one sucked after that, that's when I shriveled up and was like, Empire Strikes Back is my thing, not Star Wars.
Ah,
that's when it started.
That's because then you can never be like, you can't quiz me on anything Star Wars because I am a Empire.
Exactly, stand. Like I supersede liking all this bullshit, like
just
that.
Like Empire. Yeah. That's awesome.
I'm not interested in your
That's
little
awesome.
Game.
That's awesome. Well, we're going to do something a little different. Well, not a little different. We've done it before, but we're going to kind of truncate the front end of the show. So we're going to go right at the title of the talk, talking to you about Patreon.
Patreon.com. Well, actually, www.patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast is where you can become a Patreon member and support the show. You can give $1, $3, $5, $10, $20. King Hans
still king.
Still the reigning king of our Patreon.
Yep.
But you get access to the shows early. You get exclusive content.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to this episode, we did we talked about a bunch of stuff we watched, including a bunch of horror stuff. And also, we did this extended fucking tirade on Civil War.
A tirade.
Alex Garland's new film for A24, you know, because we'd all seen it, and why not just throw it on there? What else do they get with Patreon? Access to the Discord.
Yeah.
You get, sometimes we send out
some holiday cards.
Holiday cards.
Yeah, some stickers.
We'll have to send one to one of our newest member here.
Absolutely. I got everything ready to go. Yeah, I can
You're the best.
Some. Yeah.
Who is this newest member?
You've got the info.
One Hit Wonder Lou 13.
That's a crazy name.
Welcome.
Welcome.
And I don't know, do we know what his real name is?
Lou, I would assume. Lewis?
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
Yeah,
maybe. Lewis. And then he gave a recommendation that we do They Live on the show. And I want to ask, did you ever do They Live on the show?
I know we had it for Frights and Pints way back in the day.
Okay.
But I don't think we ever watched it on the show. I could be wrong, though. Historian Coop can correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea if we haven't.
Yep.
That's
a good call.
Other than that, we did want to give some shout-outs.
Yeah, I think I get not a shout-out, but right off the rip here, Scary Mary, and I don't want to talk about it too much because I'm sure it's personal for her and she's still kind of dealing with it, but her husband passed away recently, the Discord community has been really cool and yeah, really supportive, and she's one of our oldest and most supportive members, so we feel just terrible for her.
Yeah.
And her family, of course.
Absolutely. And when Jorge mentioned it, how supportive the Discord community has been, like, of course, it's our hope that people have people close to them and whatnot. But the fact that, you know, that people feel close enough to this show and people who listen to the show, that there's a bit of a community there like that.
It's pretty cool.
That is a pretty cool
thing. It's pretty cool. Yeah, and people were really great about suggesting her things to do other than dwell on the thing. But yeah.
But our thoughts and prayers, especially Jorge, because he prays.
I pray.
No, our thoughts have been with you, Mary, about the situation. Yeah. And you know, goddamn, now what do you say?
Now you do that? Your shout outs, brother.
Oh, and then we want to do some shout outs.
Oh, so,
no,
she'll appreciate it. Yeah, at least the juxtaposition of it.
Yeah, hopefully. She's been listening to the show this long.
Could you imagine? She's like, you know what? That was very insensitive of you.
Oh, that's fucking it. after everything, that's it. Michael Shero. Also goes by Shero Grind. This guy, thank you very much for your ongoing support. He's super supportive on social media stuff as well. And he upped his pledge on Patreon. So a special shout out to him. Also, Nick Wright. Nick, I've known you since freaking...
I think he was there with us on Star Wars night. He might have been.
You think he might have been. Yeah. I've known Nick since, God, almost pre-junior high, from church and then junior high and then high school and all this stuff. Thank you for listening to the show and supporting the show. And Jacob wanted you to know.
Yeah. I sent out your little holiday card with the drawings and stickers. It came back. It looks like you changed the addresses. I got your new one. I'll be sending those out shortly. So hopefully by the time you hear this, you'll have it. So my bad.
Oh, shit. That's funny.
And then last thing we want to say before segueing into the
thing,
the episode proper, because we have two films to review tonight.
Yes.
Say You Love Satan podcast.
Ugh.
They, after 10 years, they decided to call it quits. And it's not just like, you know, an overall bad, tragic news thing, but...
Jesse's just, I think he's done.
Well, and he said he's made done. It the priority in his life the last 10 years. And I can't, like, honestly, we love doing the show, but damn, I can't imagine making this like the primary priority in my life. Which, you know, maybe you guys noticed. all the stuff they did, they had like three or four shows
going. More than that. They were dropping shows like every other week. Those guys are crazy.
Yeah. And I believe some of that stuff will still go on, but, we wanted to thank them for their long time support and friendship. Never met in person. They're fucking way across the country in Philadelphia, but it's like sometimes you feel close to people regardless of that distance and never meeting them. And the talks I've had with fucking Jessup, even when we did, especially when we disagreed a little bit about stuff, it's just been great, you know? So we really appreciate them and all the support they've always given us.
And their fans are, there's not a whole lot of interplay of fans between our two shows because we're a different kind of creature, but their fans have always been really gracious with us too.
Yeah. For some reason.
Yeah,
probably because they were gracious with us.
Yeah, honestly. Otherwise, it'd be to the wolves with us. Gulags.
Speaking of which, the last little conversation with Jessup I had online was regarding a movie I kept meaning to bring up to both of you guys called Come and See. It's an 80s movie that's a fucking war film. And
oh, Yeah, yeah. Is that the really fucked up one?
It's fucked.
Yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah. With the kid in the cover. Yeah.
Yeah. I had completely forgotten to talk about it, but that might be a good one for the show one of these days.
Jesus.
And that Jessup was kind of suggesting that.
Yeah, I heard that's like the level of threads type.
Well, he's got more time on his hands. Maybe we could have him on the show.
Yeah, exactly. Right, as a guest host. That would be fucking great.
The least stressful, you know.
Yeah.
And I just want to mention, Sophia and I went and saw Boy Harsher here. At the
Again.
And it was fucking fantastic.
Attaboy.
They are getting, and as Coop, one of our listeners in Colorado, says they're too cool now to come to Colorado, apparently, which sucks. But hopefully they'll go on a big
All our
tour.
Friends go to Red Rocks. What are you talking about?
That's right.
Weren't the music featured in your favorite movie, Halloween Ends?
It was the best part of that movie. Yeah. That song's fucking cool.
Yeah.
When they're on the when that idiot is on the motorcycle and that fucking music comes on, I'm like, oh, this movie's dope.
It's like, oh no, it's not.
No, it's not. No. All right.
All right.
I think they were in Terrifier 2 also. The song Pain.
Yeah. So their music is just in shit movies. That's
Hey,
cool.
Hey, it's getting embraced by the horror community.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the way you say that.
Oh, got it. Shit. Alrighty, well, we watched a couple movies. The first one we're going to talk about is 2024's The Omen, or The First Omen. Sorry, Faust?
The Flomen.
The Faust. Directed, oh my God. Can I? It's been a long day today. I'm going to slow down a little bit. Directed by Arkasha Stevenson. Written by Tim Smith, Arkasha Stevenson, Keith Thomas. Starring Nell Tigerfree, dopest name in the game, Ralph Ineson, Sonia Braga, Taufik Barman, Maria Caballero, who is just
with three caballeros.
She's amazing.
Let me see her.
She's just gorgeous. This girl.
Oh, that's her. Yeah.
Yeah. My goodness. Charles Dance, of course.
Of course. Always.
Bill Nighy, dope as shit. And a bunch of other people. Jacob, what'd you think of The First Omen, brother?
Fuck.
I think as far as big studio horror films go, like, this is one of the stronger entries this year. Not that there's been many this year so far, but, you know, we're only partway through it. I think it's one of the stronger entries, and it feels very mature with the subject matter. It's beautifully shot. It's got some very powerful imagery. And it's pretty much I think the film's biggest weakness is that it's tied to the Omen franchise. Because I think on its own, I think it's a fantastic story that, you know, some of the plot threads towards the final minutes, I feel like it kind of stumbles a bit. But for the most part, I enjoyed everything about it. It's not a typical blockbuster jump scare film. And a lot of scenes are earned in prolonged sequences. I was very impressed. Very, very impressed. I was, when the trailers came out, I was hyped. But then I'm thinking about, you know, this is The Omen. Like, fucking, this could be another typical shitty legacy prequel or sequel or whatever you want to call it. But for me, it wasn't that case. It wasn't the case for this one, so.
All right. Riggy Rhett, what do you think?
I really enjoyed it overall. And the thing is, it kind of starts leaning into formula a little bit, which is hard to tell because it's so, like, surprisingly well fucking mounted. Like, I mean, there's some shots in here.
Just like me, huh?
Like that. Yeah, when you mount me like that. No, but, like, no, seriously, there's parts I keep looking at Sophia, and I'm looking at this, the cinematography and the shots and the editing, and just how fucking, like, meticulous and graceful it is, like, while being completely unnerving. I was just like, I kept putting my hands up, like, what the fuck? What is this? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
And why is The First Omen? This is one of the better horror prequels, I think, that has ever been made.
Yeah, it had no business being like this. Yeah.
Yeah, it had no fucking business being like this. And then, you know, we saw that trailer, and I'm always like, it's a good trailer, but we'll see. And then sometimes it's a shitty trailer, but we'll see. But it turned out to be pretty fucking accurate in this case. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I liked the performances. I loved the thematic stuff, which I had a couple conversations on our Discord about. Like, some people didn't like a key tenet of it, but I did. But we can, not tenet.
Mm.
Tenet.
Yeah.
People keep making that mistake. Jorge sent something today about Tenant.
And you didn't respond.
I didn't respond.
Because you were like, that's not the right thing.
He triggered me. And I was like, don't respond now. Respond on the show. Because that shit fucking... I'm like, dude, you know it's not fucking this. But...
Oh, it's so good.
That's a good stopping point for right now.
I also quite like the film.
Yay!
From the opening scene, this movie does not let up for very much. There are some trippy ass psychosexual scenes in this thing, and I'm super into that. There's a lot of, if you've got Catholic guilt, this is the one for you, dude. Mm-hmm. Performances kind of top to bottom were fantastic.
Yeah.
Nell Tiger Free, she was Marcella in Game of Thrones. You didn't really see her too much, and she's been in a couple other things, but she was fantastic in this movie.
She fucking owns this role. Yeah.
The girl, the woman who plays Luce, which is kind of cool, is, you know, she's gorgeous and also fucking really cool.
You got the dad from The Witch.
But I think thematically, this thing is fantastic. I think the performances were fantastic. The shot composition is incredible. And I will 100% agree with Jacob. This had no business being a legacy prequel. Should have been a movie on its own.
Oh, so you don't think it should have even...
I think that's the weakest point of the film, is it being tied to the Omen franchise,
because you know what it's doing.
Yeah, because it really tells its own story, and at the very end they're like, okay, how do we connect this to the Omen? And it's like it does a little weird thing, and it's like it loosely ties it in enough so then they could also throw in maybe a sequel, and that's
it's loose, but it's like it's
loose, dude.
It's her name.
It's seamless.
Like it retells it. It
works fine.
Yeah, it retells it. Yeah.
The thing that bugged me the most of it having to sort of cow down to the prequel thing is that you could see where they were like, okay, we're going to start sprinkling in lore. The 666 thing, that's not just
Omen lore.
I know. Yeah. But like, you could see where they were like, that's where they're heading.
They were hindered.
Yeah, the DNA of the Omen franchise right there
comes. It's like Ridley Scott being hindered by his own lore when he did those movies.
You're not wrong. You are not.
That's a great
wrong
point,
brother.
But
the idea, I love the idea of the Catholic Church being fractured into, the good and the bad factions, which is ultimately like, they're both bad.
Well, and that's the thing. And that point is actually, I don't think that's just a plot mechanism here. And I think that's how it was. That was one of the conversations I was having with one of our listeners, No Cal Mike. And I mean, he got the symbolism and whatnot, but I think it goes deeper than the symbolism. It's something that actually occurs, right? Like, so the devil, for example, the whole boogeyman devil thing didn't really come of age until like the 1400s, the 1500s, which I know is like, that's a long fucking time ago, but it's not as old as the Bible and all that. Like the devil's mentioned in the Bible and all that, but this whole depiction of like the devil with the fucking horns
and the tail, all this stuff, and the pitchfork,
that is very much a manufactured idea that's exploiting human projection stuff, which is we need a boogeyman.
Yeah.
So when this thing, the setup for this is why would they fucking want the Antichrist? The whole spiel they give about like the world is secular and it's leaving the church, so you need to manufacture an enemy so people need the solution. And when you drain all of that shit out of there, it's not like a polarity, it's about power. It's about maintaining the fucking Catholic, which is regardless of supernatural shit, it's very much like it's like Dune Part 2. Does it matter if it's supernatural or not? People believe in it. It's power, right? Yeah. So they want to maintain their status of power, and that the Vatican is in a state of power, and it does need the devil. It needs the fucking devil really bad, or people don't need the church, right?
Exactly. Well, yeah, and so the idea is that not only are they bringing a big bad, they're bringing the biggest bad.
Exactly.
And that will, bring people back to the church.
Right. And in that, I think...
As misguided as that is.
Yeah, I think they're kind of respecting the source material in that, because that's in the original Omen. That's built into the framework of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool. I mean, that's cool.
No, that's cool. At its core, the film, yeah, it feels very evil at its core. I mean, just the fact that it touches on just the sexual assault within the Catholic Church and like playing with that shit and those sequences are vile and creepy.
Absolutely.
And just, you know, fucking nuns have never looked scarier in a movie than this, you know? Like, this shit's very culty,
obviously. You ever seen Sister Act, dude?
Sister Act 2.
Yeah.
Sister acting again.
Is that what it said? Back in the habit? Back in the habit or some shit like that. What habit?
Habits never
masturbation?
Habits never change. Habits never lie. I don't know.
It's, yeah, there is like a little sub thing to that. But the other thing is you know, it gets to bring these we think of these as modern issues about like abortion and rights of women's autonomy for their body.
Yeah.
These are not modern issues. They didn't come out of nowhere, and they developed hand in hand with I'm going to say all this stuff right now, Jorge. But like the, you know, patriarchy stuff and Catholicism, well, dude, it's always been patriarchal. And it's always been about like fucking women are.
Why would I be opposed to you saying?
Because I'm gonna say society pretty soon. No, but dude, it's like in the thing. It's prime. It's a prime. Great. It's like one of the best opportunities ever in film to explore like women's autonomy regarding.
Yeah, no, some of the thematic shit's pretty timeless. Yeah. I was very impressed, and I just. That level of maturity and care carried in this film, whether it's the subject matter, the thematic shit, but even like the level of care handled with the scares, prolonged sequences. Like, I'm not trying to say it's on this level, but only just for the sake that we watched it last night, like the way Ari Aster handles horror, there's like some little nuggets of that in this. Like, there's not many jump scares. Like, this movie's not quote-unquote scary.
There is one good jump scare. Yeah.
There is really one, yeah. And it's well-earned.
Yeah.
It's all well-earned. And I love that. I want to see this level of care handled with any sort of sequel, prequel, just big budget, big studio films.
That's the other thing, too. To me, it never feels big budget. In terms of, like, the bloat.
And it sucks because that's what we're accustomed to. Like, when we think big budget, big studio, it's going to be fucking Blumhouse because that's just like the name we kind of attach to some of that shit.
You can definitely see the money, right? So you can see like the budget, but it never feels overly, like overtly fucking huge, which I think is its biggest positive, is because when the movie, you know, I love talking about when quiet movies are quiet and blah, 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 blah. But when this movie is quiet in terms of dialogue and that sort of thing, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it,
man. If I can't remember like an obvious expo dump, that's a good sign. You know, like the thing was,
it doesn't feel like expo dump.
It's super organic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when she starts meeting with the, what's the actor's name?
Ralph Ineson?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just a great fucking film voice.
Well, dude, when he fucking does an info dump, I'm in.
Exactly.
Like, the way his delivery, it's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, he's Father Brennan?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because he was like the morphine addict dude, junkie in the original Omen. So he's playing a character that was pivotal in the original film. I keep calling it the first Omen, but this is now the first Omen. The original. I think that was cool. That was just enough. You know, it was a decent connection they could do safely. I think his character carried that, yeah.
I want to revisit real quick, too, the besides the whole women's autonomy thing, there's also like there's a few movies that make birth very it's body horror, right? And it's showing too that
boy,
it's like,
howdy.
Well, cause it, and Sophia's definitely, you know, on board with this, because it really points out like it's like, hey, this is horrific. Like, you don't have to do this. Like, you shouldn't, it shouldn't be expected of you to do this, right? Because it really leans into the body horror thing of
birth. Sure do. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's been a thing, of course, with what's going on culturally with the Supreme Court and shit in the last couple of years. There's like Hasuera, the Bone Woman and stuff, really is showing birth in a very, I don't want to say a negative light, but as in like it's not a mandatory thing if you're a woman to have a child, and nor should it be, right? Yep, exactly. And also it kind of goes with this antinatalism bit a little bit. It's kind of like, fuck this. You know, so it gets all together and it leaves you with some really grisly scenes. Like, that's the word. Like, some of this fucking shit is really grisly. Like, fucking Alien 3 grisly type shit. Mm-hmm. But it's not xenomorphs. It's yeah. just fucking people.
Yeah, and, no, just, and I keep saying they're very prolonged sequences, which is like you just don't see that today.
Yeah.
And in one of them being, I couldn't believe until, you know, we obviously read some Twitter reactions about it, but the inclusion of a fantastic homage to fucking Possession.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
I almost forgot.
And it is, it really, it truly is a protracted scene. Like, I yeah. mean, it is a solid, like, 2-3, at least it feels like it's like 3+ minutes
yeah.
sitting there when she's convulsing and oozing out all this goo and shit. Like, wow. It's like a scene, like a, you know, a frame by frame perfect recreation of
Possession. Could you imagine them filming that fucking scene?
Well, I read about
it. It must have been wild.
Well, I read an article. She nailed that in the second take. And she said, yeah. they said that everyone on the set was just like dumbfounded and also kind of like mystified, but a little bit
scared.
A little bit. But she said how freeing it was to go there.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, they're like, oh, this bitch is actually like crazy.
Yeah, that's like star making performance type. Yeah,
it's incredible.
Because it's one great thing scene. To, it's ballsy to do an homage to fucking
homage
to Possession. It's also kind of a niche thing to do.
Yeah.
But it's like you pulled it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once you're like, wait a second, like, holy shit, they're doing it, you know? Yeah. And yeah, I think Nell Tigerfried, I feel like this is almost like the equivalent of seeing Florence Pugh in Midsommar. Like, this is like, I think her career might take off after this. Hopefully it does, because I was just impressed with her whole, her character evolution start to finish, like everything, you know?
The one thing I...
I'm not about the very ending, but we'll
get
there.
Yeah. The very ending. I wasn't aware that like nuns that were about to take the habit were kind of allowed to do like Rumspringa. Is that a thing?
I don't know, but even if it's not a thing,
who gives a shit, right? Like,
well, cuz it's, I don't know if it's who gives a shit, but it's like
in context of the movie, I mean. Sorry. Yeah,
people are people, dude. No, but I think it happens, right? And I think there's also nuns that defile their vows, because I think people defile their vows a lot. I'm not saying always.
Dude, never,
exactly.
Dude. Nah,
like, that's what I mean. I'm not saying like, I'm not trying to like say we all, it's all fucked up, but I think it is a thing. But also in this case, it made more sense once we found out what was actually fucking going on.
Right.
Like it made a lot more sense.
She was kind of like fucked from the get.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, exactly. And that kind of stuff works out too. It's not like one of those where retrospectively you're like, oh, that's too messy. It's kind of like, no, that lines up perfectly.
Yeah, like, this film consistently kind of breaks down all the safety barriers just from like minute one with your little cold open with the kill and everything, which is fine. But like after that, yeah, it just slowly breaks down all the safety barriers. You feel just completely uneasy the moment she arrives in Rome. Nothing seems kind of right. And that slow descent is fantastic.
I'm like, that priest is going to try to fuck her. You're in danger.
Yeah. Yeah, it's playing on your immediate distrust of Catholicism.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
Especially at this point.
Yeah.
Like even more than like when The Omen came out in the 70s, and also The Omen, I didn't rewatch it, but I remember it's kind of like a slow reveal what's going on there too. Mm-hmm. So if you watch this before that, right?
Yeah.
Like there's no slow reveal for you in The Omen now, so it won't hit the same way as it would have.
Yeah.
Right?
And you know what I was really impressed? I thought it being like a legacy prequel, we're like, okay, we're going to have like their version of a Damien.
Right.
That really wasn't the focus of the film at all. There was no like Damien equivalent. Kind of was, but barely a focus in the film. It was just a small little plot device, but it really, the whole focus was...
She was just a red herring, dude.
Yeah. I mean, literally, yeah. But
the opening scene you mentioned too, Jorge, like even she has the little black shawl over her face. And in all the stuff I've seen in movies with these ritualistic type scenes, it's one of the best because it's one of the most unnerving, and I don't want to say authentic feeling like a bit, but I mean, it feels really like fucked up. But you can see her teeth through the shawl.
She's like breathing.
She's breathing. You see her teeth, the outline of her teeth in the thing, and it's just like a great detail and stylistic choice that hits fucking different. That I've never seen.
Yep.
In any of these scenes.
Well, and then when you actually experience that scene in the movie, towards the end,
you get the context.
Despite the fact, you know, despite our misgivings about the actual ending on this movie, like if it had ended basically there, we'd have nothing to say, like nothing bad to say, really.
Right.
Also, I think one of the more effective scenes is when Luz was becoming, when she was getting her fucking, her nunnery.
Oh, yeah.
Nunnery
the,
ship.
The whole ritualistic
that
shit.
That scene is fucking crazy, dude.
That was.
I couldn't fucking, I was like, of all the things, like the horror tropes in this movie, that scene in particular, I was gobsmacked at how well that was done.
Yeah. And how, yeah. There's nothing we can, we watch the scene, you get it.
Yeah.
Like, it's saying everything, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, yanking the hair back like that and all that, and just how mm-hmm. yeah, how fucked up this procedure is.
Yeah.
And what it's really about, it's about control. Like, it's about absolute, and it's also about, like, you are married to this one dude, you know?
Well, like, I mean, look, dude, there are some, and I don't even, they're not even undertones. There are like some sexual overtones about this whole procedure, right? Like,
absolutely.
They're saying that, like, yeah, dude, you're going to be married to Jesus and he's going to fuck you.
Yeah.
And whether or not that's a priest is, you know.
In that way, it's a perfect companion piece to Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, right?
Damn.
With Mother Superior. It's a great fucking movie. But yeah.
No, it's crazy to think a film of this caliber exists, like, right next to something like Nun 2. You know what I mean? Like, it's fucking crazy.
And I didn't see Immaculate, right? Which came out. This is a Dante's Peak volcano situation. Deep Impact Armageddon. Yeah. This is one of those moments. So, like,
my ranking is Deep Impact.
Whoa, what?
Deep Impact at the top.
That's fucked up.
Then
that's fucked up.
Then
Volcano.
Then Volcano.
Horrible.
Then the Core.
Core is at the
top. He likes the Core better than Tenet.
Core is at the top.
Bro, really?
When was the last time you watched the Core, dude?
It was like
they
opening Blockbuster,
have,
dude.
They have unobtainium in that bitch.
He's always been a champion.
The more the more it heats up, the stronger it gets. And I'm like, yes, it does. Woo!
Fuck, I didn't know this.
Dude, my wife and I, we went on vacation. My boss was real big on paying for, like, extravagant vacations when you know, he was high on the hog, you know, 15, 20 years ago. So we went on vacation to Tahiti, and we went on this fucking cruise. It was gnarly. It was like 9 days in Tahiti. But the Core was playing on, like, their like loop,
like a
on
satellite television loop.
I think we watched Core 7 times that fucking week. And it was like we would get home from our fucking adventures on the cruise, and then we'd be like, oh, it's time for Core.
I did thoroughly enjoy it way more than Armageddon. Like,
dude, it's so much more fun than fucking Armageddon, man. No joke. But anywho, back to things that aren't as cool as Core.
Did either of you see Immaculate?
No.
No, I wanted to, but I ended up seeing The Devil. So I was like, the Ken Russell movie. I talked about
that. Oh, yeah, The Devil.
Yeah, I wanted to watch more. I wanted to watch Benedetta. I wanted to watch...
Benedetta's fucking...
Oh! My cousin who's into horror films, she watched both of these films. Well, both of the this one and also...
Immaculate.
And she loved The First Omen and thought... Immaculate was just okay.
I kept hearing that. I heard it's just really mid. Yeah. It's Sydney Sweeney. I mean, that's...
So it's Madame Web, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Have you watched it yet?
No!
I can't even... I have 5 minutes to go. That's how bad. Like, I couldn't do it. It's an endurance test.
The theater will make you do it. That's why, you know? Yeah. Opening weekend.
Heartache... Feels good in a place like this.
It took me, like, I think six to, like, I had to watch the first, it took me 95% of the movie, like, over 6 days. Like, it's that rough.
You're watching movies like me now, dude.
It was rough, man. I don't think I'll ever finish.
All right, so let's chat about this ending.
It has a little tag, right? And this is spoiler territory.
Should have done, like, a fucking guitar riff. Wow! Yeah. Get ready for The Omen.
Yeah. Wow! Yeah, a little. It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, too, I'm kind of a little bit like, cool, I hope there's a franchise. Oh, wait, there is a franchise.
I hope there's a sequel to this.
And this can't really line up like that, or could it? But also, it's just, the thing is, why I don't like it is it doesn't match the bleakness of the rest of the movie. I don't think that's how, it's not like that's how that would go. We're not talking about fucking Civil War here, right? It doesn't... it's not, it doesn't match the tone of the rest of the movie.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, they're on a ranch. They can do whatever the fuck they want.
Like, I get it. It's cool you're empowered and you got out, but like,
No, you didn't.
Yeah, at best, you're going to be in hiding the rest of your life. At best. If someone shows up at your door, and here's the thing, if that guy can show up at your door because he can find you,
then you're fucked.
Then you're fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be that guy showing up at your door. It would be some other fuck showing up at your door or it'd just be, lighting your fucking house on fire. It'd be
the Pope himself.
Yeah, the Pope himself will fucking, never mind. I don't need to say some lewd shit.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. We know what the Pope does when he turns back into a lizard. And all that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's not doing too much of turning back into a lizard. He's just kind of staying in his lizard state right now.
Just in lizard state.
At least we didn't get like CGI Gregory Peck or something.
Well, they showed him on the fucking
a photo, right?
Yeah. That's what I mean by is it was subtle enough, and it was like it was jarring, but not in a like Rogue One way. It was just like, yeah. Oh yeah, Gregory fucking.
That was one of my notes was like, it's like the Rogue One of the Omen franchise.
Yeah,
yeah.
She's like, holy shit, it's good. It's really good. It's on par with Rogue One.
Yeah.
It's not just one of the best horror prequels. I think it's one of the best prequels.
I honestly, yeah, dude.
It's better than the Star Wars prequels.
True, 100%.
It. I mean, excluding. Possibly Rogue One. It's better than fucking the Alien prequels. Now you guys get it. Well, I won't say it's... The thing is, I don't know if it's... Like, I like both of those, but this is more consistent, obviously.
Yeah.
There's no, like, the first 40 minutes have shit dialogue in this.
True.
Right?
True.
The shit in Prometheus that works is fucking, like, beyond, though, right? Like, the surgery scene and all that shit and the fucking engineer getting taken over by the squid fucker. And all that's great. That shit's great.
Yeah.
And Charlize Theron running from the fucking ship looking like Samus with her fucking blonde hair.
She seems to go sideways, dude, and she'd be okay.
That's so dumb.
I know. We don't talk about that, though.
That was so dumb.
We don't talk about that.
Just go sideways, dude. Like,
that was the comment from the first trailer.
Just go sideways.
So dumb when that happened.
Just go sideways. Okay. Don't run away from the thing that's tall. Sideways to the thing that's tall.
Yeah.
Perpendicular. Not parallel too.
I'm gonna outrun it.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's gonna be some shit like that in Gladiator 2. You're like, just move away from the horse. You know what I mean? Or
Ridley
something
Scott,
like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's weird how he has those moments. He's like, oh, it doesn't matter.
They won't be paying attention anyway.
Yeah, it's just the spectacle.
I feel like he's like the one director who does his own prequels.
He's like,
that's an interesting point.
Yeah. I'm gonna do this.
Yeah.
Amadeus.
Mm.
You're going to watch that. So,
are we ready?
Weirdly, all positive about the first Omen, which is kind of wild.
I'm extremely positive about it. And I would be surprised at this point if it doesn't end up top five at the end of the year because it was that solid.
Yeah.
But we're, speaking of which, it's April at this moment of recording. We're only a quarter into the year. Well, no, that's more like a third into the year.
Yeah.
That's fucking faster than I thought.
We still got Long Legs. We still got Alien Romulus.
Yeah. This is already showing to be a much better year for the horror genre specifically. Mm-hmm. It's not even close when you compare it to this point last year.
Like, we'll always have trash, but to have something this solid this soon.
Yeah.
It's good.
And, you know, even middling efforts, I don't want to say middling, but yeah, somewhat middling or higher middling efforts like Late Night with the Devil and Jacob's favorite, Stop Motion, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then this next film, what do we think of that?
Well, you introduce the film.
The next film we watched is a little movie. It's 2024's Arcadian. Starring.
Oh, you got it directed by.
Oh, I can't see it.
It's Benjamin Brewer, dude.
Oh, yeah. Directed by Benjamin Brewer.
And written by
Mike Nylund. Mike Nylund. Let's do it together. No, you go on.
You go on now. Get.
Yeah.
Starring Nicolas Cage, Jaden Martell, Maxwell Jenkins, Sadie Soverall, Samantha Coughlin? Coughlin? Is that how you say G-H's? I don't know, bro. Joe Dixon, Joel, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter. Hey, Rhett.
Yeah.
What'd you think of Arcadian?
when this was a trailer where it was like, what the fuck is this? And then when I saw it like the third or fourth time, because we go to the theater a lot, Jacob, mm-hmm. you and I, right? And we see these trailers over and over and over and over again. Like I saw that Bob Marley movie trailer like fucking 30 times. And I'm so glad it's over, yeah. right? But now that's on Peacock too, I think, and I really want to watch that. It's either Peacock or Paramount.
Yeah, yeah, it's out now.
I'm gonna watch that shit this week.
I'm on watch it.
But this is one though. Once finally though, I watched the trailer one time and I realized they are not. These are not just quick cuts. These are nothing cuts. I can't see shit. I don't know what's fucking going on in this movie.
Yeah.
So I got somewhat hopeful, but then Jacob sent over this little stuff he was seeing online. Of these people who had seen it premiere at a festival, and they were talking specifically about the monster.
Okay.
And I got kind of fucking stoked. Thank you. So yeah, I made sure to seek it out while I had some showtimes here. Mm-hmm. Thankfully,
yeah, it was like around for like 7 days or some shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. Which is like Jake and I have talked about it a couple times. It's cool they do that at all. Like, that's one of the good things about the theater system really struggling right now is they give this anything to drive any kind of traffic to
anything
the
that's got a fucking pulse. They're like, put it in.
Yeah, because they'll buy some popcorn and that'll be another $30.
Yeah,
because we got a big ass fucking building to pay rent on here.
It's just like overcorrection of the whole, like everything went straight to streaming.
Yeah.
And now all the trailers are only in theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah. Which is good.
Back when you could rent a fucking theater for $120.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
So to keep the good old days. The intro on this thing for me, because of not huge expectations, I actually don't mind this movie. I like its minimalism. I think it uses it to its advantage. I could see some people would be annoyed if they weren't coming from the perspective of that being a lower budget movie, why they can't see things and all that kind of stuff.
It comes at night, dude, but what really did? Come at night, dude.
Well, and when they reveal what comes at night, it's fucking one of the cooler creature designs I've seen in years. And yeah, it's a bit of a hodgepodge, but so what? And the fucking that's fucking dope. Like you get, even if your movie sucked ass,
just give me that.
Already 2 stars
because of
that fucking jaw thing.
Yeah,
I wasn't clear what was happening to the mom because we didn't see that till later. But seeing like it from that perspective, and then later on it shows the jaw. I put it together. I'm like, oh, that's what was happening to her. That's fucking dope.
She got ed up.
Yeah, and not just the creature seeing less is more stuff. Like it shows. It's a thing where you didn't have to use a bunch of CGI. Like they're out in the wilderness. We get a nice little intro that makes the point. Instead of having to rely on a huge budget to show dilapidated CGI environments, there's an old fucking boat. So it feels very lived in. It feels very, and in a sense, even though we've seen a lot of apocalyptic shit like this, it feels kind of unique because they're out in nature. And at its core, I think it has a simple but effective. And it's formulaic, but it's effective and it's well acted generally. Thing about the sons and their father.
Oh, that's a good segue into my thoughts on this movie.
It is.
As a father.
Yeah.
No, I know I do this sometimes, but
it's true.
Actually, as a father, I think this. Let me just right off the bat, I really like this movie. As goofy as it is, there are some things that are silly as hell.
Yes.
But I do think that it's a really cool exploration of a father dealing with, and not even his kids, because it's never explicit about it.
Right.
So, you know, you're
kind of, at least one of them's not his.
Maybe. Yeah. You're able to make the decision about like, you know, are these both of his kids? Did he find them on the road? In the middle of this, like, it's cool, man, because it's lore building right off the rip, and it almost seems like there's like a civil war thing happening at the beginning of the movie.
We see a little tease of them up there on some fucking
which so
works really well.
I like all of the stuff that's happening at the beginning of this movie. That sort of extended run scene that Nicolas Cage has, I thought was a really cool, really cool like opener to what's happening. There's some stuff about one of the kids in this fucking other farm, which I'm like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Why are you doing it? But I think
I think it's a tastefully done film, and I rather enjoyed it.
Hell yeah. I have some like technical gripes with it, obviously.
Shaky cam.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my first note is buy a fucking Steadicam, you know. But honestly, that's to mask some of the budgetary restraints of the film. So it's pretty forgivable. Like, you could tell they're really masking some of, like, some maybe poor green screen CGI effects. It's just a budgetary thing, so that's fine. In the end, it's an impressive genre bender. It features a big world, small story. It balances sci-fi horror with, like, an indie family drama. And I think it balances it pretty well. And like you said, I mean, it's one of the most original fucking monster designs I've ever seen. And it's a fucking mess when you think about like how they probably drafted this thing together.
You guys ever watch play Crash Bandicoot? That.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. Like, Courtney and I, we vibe. We're usually on the same wavelength with a lot of movies we watch. And then when they did the full reveal of this monster and it's doing its snapping its jaws, I'm like, all in. And I'm looking at Courtney she's like
fucking hating it.
And she was we looked at each other and I was like, fuck yeah. And she looked at me like, are you fucking kidding me right now? Like, what the fuck am I watching? Because this movie, like, it's so weird because it gets a little silly, like almost like Critters, Gremlin shit.
Oh, but, yeah. It's not silly. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, dope. I fucking loved it. Like, it literally had some huge balls.
There are times when you can say, like, a movie is, like, a dude movie.
Yeah.
This is very much a fucking dude movie.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like, not that I'm, like, there's a disparity between men and women in liking this film. But this is one of those where it's, like, oh, this is a fucking movie for dudes.
It is a total ultimate, like, father-son film. I mean, the guy who wrote it. Is Nick Cage's agent and manager. He was like, hey man, I got this script.
That's why Cage is a producer on
there. Yeah, and he was like, dude, this is amazing. Like, fuck yeah. And the writer was like, I wrote it.
What's the monster look like?
Dude, it's fucking crazy.
Wait, you gotta tell me what the monster looks like. Nah, dude, I can't yet.
Hold on. And the writer, you know, he wrote it. He raised two sons, twins, and he was like, I wanted my sons to kind of like be the heroes of the story and kind of take the mantle, essentially, you know, and that's kind of the direction the movie goes. And I think it's paced pretty well enough. Like, the slow buildup of eventually like a full-on reveal of the beast, I think it's perfectly ramped up like that. I think it shows the right amount of the monster. Some people might argue it's too much, but I liked it. The director, he has a huge background in visual effects. He was the lead visual effects artist in Everything Everywhere All at Once. That was like his big thing.
What's that? Some shit
Asian movie.
You're Asian.
You said my secret code. I liked it. It had budgetary restraints. It had a lot. It did a lot of the shaky camera shit, which I'm like, yo, it's 2024. Like, knock that shit out. But
yeah, my man, go to Best Buy. Get a fucking
Jason Bourne.
Yeah. Seriously, Sam Raimi can build a Steadicam in like, you know, 84. It's like fucking come on.
Yeah.
Besides that, it's one of the dopest like Hungry Hungry Hippos horror movies I've ever seen.
Yep.
Yeah.
So when you guys talk about it being a guy movie, which I don't disagree with, the thing is Sophia. Hi again, Sophia.
Hey again.
She loves fucking Predator. She loves it. She loves aliens.
She should.
And like, her family, one thing about her family is they grew up watching real machismo. One good thing about family. Hers, they love these machismo action movies. And she does too. Like, she likes that stuff. And this stuff, though, she really appreciated, in particularly Nicolas Cage's The Father thing. Simple stuff, but like, she pointed out, and we had a good conversation afterwards about it. He doesn't just keep them in line, like he takes accountability.
Like, he's like, I made the mistake.
Yeah, he's all this isn't your fault.
Yeah.
It's really mine. And it's like she's like, that's so good to see, because on one hand you see men, like she didn't say but sometimes men are emasculated. On the other hand, they do it wrong. They overdo it. You got like the Vin Diesel trope, or you just got like a lot of cliched stuff. But this guy is like, he's nurturing, but he's also stern. And also, they're in, like, life or death circumstances, but he's also supportive. Like, he's emotionally supportive, and he takes accountability. Because it's a lot of things, like, where a guy, you know, I'm not a father. But, with the, you know, in my line of work with people they're not children, right?
Also, let me back that up one second. Not that you need to be a father to enjoy this fucking film. Like,
Nonetheless, that's what I mean. I want to qualify. I'm not a father, so I don't want to act like I know what I'm talking about on that front. But I do understand, as a human being, like, it's cool if someone is your caretaker and they also take accountability. Like, they're not mutually exclusive. It's not like they're going to disrespect you if you admit error. You know what I mean? Like, that's fucking cool to see, and it's a good little detail, and it makes everything feel realer, and it makes me respect him more immediately.
Yeah, and it's not even, like, a whole, like, that thematic thing you're talking about. It's not even said passingly in dialogue. Like, there's a whole prolonged scene of him rescuing one of his sons because he's missing, and it's past curfew. The monsters are coming out. He has to go out and just fucking look for his son, you know, in, like, total danger. So,
and it's kind of like, how the fuck are they going to make it through this night?
Yeah.
Right? And they do. And I could tell, like, but I wasn't sure if they would necessarily, or if both would.
Yeah.
You know, and so
I really wasn't sure. I was like, are we going to lose one of the major characters, like, right now in this scene?
Yeah. And it turns out, like I said, it starts leaning into formula, but it's like, it's a monster movie. It's actually, this is a B movie, right? This is a fucking old school 50s B movie.
Yeah.
Move a few things around, but it's, like, kind of really fun done. And then it has the ideas that aren't brand new. They're taken. It takes elements, one from over here, one from over here, so it feels fucking new again. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, critters. There's another thing with this creature where when it happens, dude. And initially,
the first time you see it, it's like, what did I? Did I really just?
Yeah.
The second time, it was like, holy shit, bro! They're like, this motherfucker is on fire.
Yeah.
It's gonna get him. Like, what in, like, the hell?
Yeah. Like gremlins and critters. It's one of those, like, the monsters are kind of a pest where you can actually easily dispatch one on your own.
Yeah.
But when it's what you realize, there's more than one, and when they come in big, large numbers, it's fucking terrifying. And it's like a Studio Ghibli kind of, like, weird mass of monsters, and they kind of intertwine like a hydra, and it's just like a mess of just, I don't know, it's just very, it's a
rolling pack,
yeah,
like, fucking coming at
you. We literally see, like, the equivalent of your 2024's critter ball we get to see in this, and it's
a critter wheel.
It's weird, man,
and it's weird enough where I'm like, it's like, yeah, okay, that's fucking, okay,
that's cool,
it's absurd,
yeah, it's like, so absurd. But then, like, you also have the first reveal of the monster, and it's like fucking incredible, like watching Alien for the first time. It's horrifying.
In the cave, when you see that stupid smile, the dumb teeth, it's like, what the fuck?
And when you see the arm extend into the house,
that scene was fantastic.
I was like, dude, this is literally like Ridley Scott Alien, the first movie, like witnessing a xenomorph for the first time.
Again, like the less is more thing, like it's a still long shot, and that's the most we've seen of it. And all we're seeing is its arm. And then its finger, and then its fingernail extend,
and we're like, "It's gonna get him!
Yeah,
gonna get him!
It's great!
Gonna get him! It's
great! Dude, sequence.
It's such a great scene, because you're like, no, there's no, oh,
it just goes and goes.
Oh,
and then the arm retracts, and you're like, okay, it's done. And then it comes and, like, unlocks the door, and you're like, dude, it's fucking intense, man.
Yeah,
which leads to a good character beat. You know, like Horace saying the O thing, like, because again, so you got your tropes here, and you've got your, he's not autistic, but he is talented, but he's also limited in other areas, right?
Yeah.
Like he's not good with this stuff, which means he's really good in these other things. But he mentions too, like, this kind of stuff makes sense, right? Like he doesn't want to be in constant fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, it motivates him to start engineering things and trying to figure out ways to feel more secure.
Yeah.
Right? Playing to his strengths, which is fucking cool in this movie. It feels grounded enough where it's like, I buy it.
It's grounded, like, for him building his own, like, vehicle, and kind of like the dad taking his son out to go driving for the first time and teaching him how to drive. Like, shit like that, those moments. And I like just the juxtaposition of the two sons. You got one who's longing for just a companionship and wanting to socialize. Like, he just feels so left out of everything, while the son is completely okay with his dad and just doing survival shit. And the other one really wants to get out there and meet a girl and talk to people and stuff.
Right. He just wants to fuck.
Mm.
Well, speaking of which, there's the other house. And the guy does just want to, you know,
mm-hmm.
life finds a way.
Yeah.
And I think that makes a bit, you know, quite a bit of sense and all that. You mentioned a part you didn't like about it, like that situation. You said, I don't know what the fuck you're doing over here. What do you, you know, are you talking about when they go over there and try to stay at the house and they only take him?
Yeah, that. And then it's kind of messy, right? You know, and then he's like, now I got to go. Now I got to. It's like, well, like, okay, that's cute, dude. Like
we kind of wasted our time.
Figure that out 20 minutes ago.
Right. No, I kind of see what you're saying there. Well, not kind of. I agreed.
It's like a setup for a body count, a little carnage. Exactly. You know? Yeah.
Right. And then I do like, though, when she leaves with them. Well, speaking, let's go to the carnage first, right? Which is great carnage. And the first real big kill of the movie that we see, if I'm not mistaken, is the mom.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in that scene. It's kind of hard to tell, which I like. It's not trying. It's just kind of, you know, showing the capabilities of this creature and the weird.
From like a first person perspective a little bit, yeah, right? And yeah. Kind of
just the anatomy of this creature and what it could do to people. Like there's some weird cocooning xenomorph type of shit going on. It was hard to tell because it's so fast.
Right. Yeah.
It's creepy as hell. I mean, the face opens up and yeah.
Well, and then like Sophia had an idea too that like, because there's like two women in the whole movie.
Yeah.
Right. And the first thing they go for is the mom. And then, like, she's mentioning, like, you know, maybe instinctually they're going for the fucking breeder. And
I'm like, take them out.
And I'm like, dude, that's fucking dope.
And I like that nothing's really explained. Like, there's that one little talk between the boy and the girl about, like, they don't know what happened. Like, they can only assume.
Am I misremembering things? Or am I thinking of another movie? Did they mention something about, like, the creatures not being able to breed?
I don't recall that.
I don't think so. Yeah,
if they did, I can neither confirm nor deny.
I could be thinking about something different, but like I think that like they use. I could be wrong, but I felt like they were using humans as like hosts to like create a new version of or a new
yeah. Creature. I mean, well, no, we're saying like the theory is that they were humans at one point. And then there's the theory they just came from the ground and something about bugs and the plague and shit. And there's the little breadcrumbs. I don't know if the bugs had anything to do with it. I noticed like anytime, wherever the monsters have been, there's always like cockroaches shit.
Yeah, I'm stupid. I'm thinking about the fucking the Parasite show on fucking Netflix.
Oh, really? Yeah. So that's what you've been watching.
Yeah, I did. What we did start watching that. Oh, fuck. Never mind. Forget it.
Would you have wanted more lore or anything like that? The backstory, okay. Monster stuff, origins?
No, man. In general, it's very refreshing to me for now that we don't have a bunch of lore.
Yeah.
And I don't need, like, it's okay. Not everything is fucking Dune or fucking Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so stop. Get some help. Like, you don't need lore. There was, what was that review online? Fucking Jorge sent us a review about this fucking guy pointing out all the problems with this movie, and it keeps missing opportunities to build lore. And it's like, dude, shut the fuck.
You left a comment. You're like, because like his name of his channel is like Bad Movie Reviews. And you're like, yeah, it really is a bad movie review.
Yeah, I guess you weren't lying. It's a bad movie review. But, yeah, the other thing, no, I was fine with the amount we got.
Yeah.
It's kind of a mixed bag because at the end it leaves itself open, which is cool, and I'd like to see more of this monster. What I wouldn't like to see so far, at least not in the idea, is like expand the world and like up the ante and now make this, like, I'm very, very unexcited about fucking
Quiet Place.
A Quiet Place.
Yeah, like 3. Don't do the Quiet Place direction. Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't know what to feel until I seen the trailer several times, and now knowing it, obviously it's not Krasinski.
Yeah.
But dude, that's not why A Quiet Place was good. Because and also everything you're showing, like, we've seen this CGI monsters in the city thing. Like, we've seen I Am Legend.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, dude. Like, don't do
World
it.
World War Z.
Yeah. And all of that. And also, it's going to... Anyway, you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, I'd like to see more of the monster, but fucking, I don't know how you kind of do that, you know? But you're going to... They mention a town that's nearby. I did like the fucking the metaphor. They'll probably hit Jorge, too. Like, they had the string tied to the tree.
Yep.
Because there's that thing, right, when you're in development, which Jorge knows more than either of us about this, but I only know about it theoretically, right? Like, you want to give them freedom to go play, but a safe thing to return to, right? Like, there's a safe thing to return to, yeah. But the tether, they break the tether and go beyond that. And it's like, oh, that's cute. And it's like, well, it's fucking...
Well, they're kids.
Yeah.
Like, they're children. Yeah.
And speaking of which, this man fucking hates kids in film a lot. These young teenagers were not just downright fucking annoying the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's an accomplishment in and of itself.
One of the characters is I forget, from the It franchise. Yeah. He's still good.
Yeah.
Kid is still...
He's literally like that in real life. Like, all the interviews, he's very kind of...
The older kid is also as annoying as fuck, and I think it's purposeful in the film. Mm-hmm. Like, also, I like the little touches of, you know, his shitty haircut, because, like, you know... What the fuck does a dad know about making, you know, hair look good?
Yeah.
With no power tools.
Yeah. And his haircut, but it was also kind of like, oh, that's
kind of dope.
That's hip.
If I was him, I'd be like, yeah.
He should have the fucking broccoli hair. And the cross earring.
He's like, for real, no cap.
Yeah, like that. That's how they should have done it.
Yeah.
I
agree.
Oh, the other thing that hit me, it's simple stuff, right? But when she, after the bloodshed, she goes with them to their house. And they're not like, they don't got this big ass homestead and all that shit, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, you get there and I immediately get this impression. It's like, the people that were more comfortable and had more of those creature comforts are less likely to survive, right? So there's that inversion of, like, the values of having a bigger place and more stuff. Like, these two kids and this guy have fucking held it down at that place by themselves. And they're better equipped for this situation.
Yep.
There's less of them, and they're better equipped because fucking they didn't have all that shit to get comfortable with.
Yeah, that girl, her family, you know, spoilers here, but they got, you know, because they had their guard down because they just relied on a couple guards outside their thing, but they didn't live in fear like as they should have.
Who were real eager to fucking bring the law back and just torture the fuck out of a kid.
Yeah, that was wild. Yeah,
that got real like 28 days later, right there.
It got real Civil War.
Civil War. Mm. Mm.
That doesn't have that much lore either.
Arcadian
Civil War.
Mm.
I only say it because it doesn't have so much fucking expectation for it, right? It's the opposite, right? But
yeah, this movie. So Nick Cage is there's a plot event. This like point of no return. When he goes and rescues one of his son when he trips in the forest and falls in a cave, he fucking blows up and gets kind of fucked up for a majority of the film, which is good because the story is about, you know, the son's kind of growing up and holding it down without the need of
were not good at it.
They weren't the best.
And the movie can hold its own without its star, which is good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because he does have a moment to shine towards the end. But yeah, this film does end on a pretty epic siege. You know,
it reminded me a lot of fucking Big Daddy's death in Kick-Ass when he's just fucked to shit and then they burn his ass up.
It's like,
fuck, dude.
The Kryptonite!
In what?
Kick-Ass?
Oh, yeah.
His acting was really crazy in that scene.
It was not, dude, yeah.
I was like, what are you doing, man? Yeah. Yeah, that's the fucking crazy ass siege, man. You see full on monsters on screen. You can't even really describe this creature design. You really have to see it, man. And I tried to look for like some bootleg shit on TikTok. I can't find anything.
So if we had to, before we do the creature thing again, the girl too. Yeah, she's a girl, but she's not like it's not a Mary Sue situation. And it's not a fucking damsel in distress situation either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, which was, again, like a simple decision, but an important one. Especially when you're dealing with a formulaic B movie setup anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, so don't give me like the same thing I've seen over and over again.
Yeah.
Like she can shoot and all that stuff.
The film, it operates on common sense, you know, it's like, which is great.
Yeah. It's fucked up when that's so refreshing. Less lore, more common sense. Economical pacing, 90 minutes, done. Thank you.
Yeah, we got it.
that's seriously.
Thank you very much.
Good job.
Yeah.
But
you managed to do that. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Like, wow. I didn't know it could be done. But like fucking this monster. So let's name all the different elements. We mentioned critters.
Critters. Yeah.
There's a bit of the xenomorph in the yeah. especially the it's actually like more the method of reveal. Like when in the first Alien movie, which we all know what it looks like, but imagining the first time seeing it, besides seeing the little one first, once it's big, you see parts of it and parts of it and parts mm-hmm. of it. And then like
you don't get the full picture till like the end. Yeah.
Yeah. There's also, we got a werewolf type deal.
A little, yeah, gorilla werewolf.
Gorilla, monkey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely the hairy thing is a game changer.
Yeah.
And then what's the creature in A Quiet Place?
Yeah, I don't even know what that thing's called. But yeah, it totally feels like a little bit of that. I think I almost like don't even want to compare it to that because it's so different, but it's just the timing of it. People cannot help but make the comparison.
I think the speed and the viciousness of it is comparable.
Yeah, that's true. You yeah. know what I mean? And then you got Hungry Hungry Hippos and Alligator Dentist and Dentist Teeth Chatterer thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little Studio Ghibli.
It's fucking crazy, man. Like, yeah. I go, oh, it's a tiki mask. Huh.
Yeah, and I'm like, what part is this the actual face of that's it? Or is it's like yeah. a weird chameleon, like it's used, you know how like a moth has like a face on it or a bug?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And wow. That's what I mean. I don't know if that's just real inspired or they just like hit the fucking collective unconscious thing there because it was eerie. It hit like nightmare territory because I can't quite make out what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
And there was that tiki mask element.
Like, yeah. I was trying to figure that until you said it. I was like, oh, the tiki fucking.
That's,
yeah.
That's what Sophia said too. It was a totem. It was like a totem.
And,
you know what a totem
And what's pole? Weird is that's the top of their head yeah. too. It's not like their face.
Right. Yeah. Which it's is almost like an insect type thing. Yeah. Like how they have the patterns on their
yeah, exoskeleton. Really, really cool. Really cool.
Yeah. So fucking dope.
So yeah, better than Civil War.
I will agree with that. Yes.
Damn. Not as good at technical on the technical merits.
But like right. I mean, it's on par with the sound design of Civil War. Whoa, you know. Whoa. The fucking that Jeez. Monster sound design is fucking out of this world.
Yeah, the monster thing was really cool.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I got excited about a movie monster. Yeah, like
if that. I saw a fucking monster snapping its teeth the way it does like that, I would shit my pants and kill myself. Like, yeah, dude,
it's like a fucking trash compactor.
Yeah, even though it shows like you can take one out by yourself, no problem. It's only when they're in packs, it's scary. Even if I saw one doing that, I would kill myself because that was fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And when it lunges on the mom and shit starts going down and you can't see it clearly, it was so jarring. I'm just like, this is fucking scary, dude. Like, I'm so excited.
Yeah. To see a monster movie like this in theaters, an indie monster movie with this type of design in theaters, it's a total treat.
Agreed.
Agreed.
All right.
So high recommend for Arcadian and The First Omen.
Kind of wild.
It's fucking weird.
And high budget, low feeling movie. Mm-hmm. Low budget, high feeling kind of movie. Kind of wild.
What do we got coming out?
No idea.
Literally.
Yeah.
We're going to get the slate going once we
We had a very off. Like very large slate. This is pretty much the end of this slate, right?
Right. We had some new stuff. New stuff back to back, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Stop motion, imaginary. We did 90s and then a lot of new stuff. And then we'll
with the King pick right in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to regroup and see what's next.
Cool. All right, that's episode 413 for the Who Goes Your Podcast. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us today or tonight or tomorrow, whatever the fuck. This is Rory signing out.
This is Jacob.
Bye, Sophia. Bye, idiots.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.